I saw la presco vinale copande supra e mosqueta binacula abrasquevala. Until the stronghold of the bond woman is rendered naked and the scepter that they trusted in is broken. Open our understanding that we may know the times and the seasons in which we dwell. When you are there, 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 when you are there. When you are there, when you are there. Nigeria, thy fetters shall break, thy chains shall be destroyed, they that seek to destroy you shall come under bitter judgment and fury. Nigeria, you shall arise again in your splendor with prophesy. Nigeria, awake from your sleep. Awake from your slumber. Awake from the ailment that has bedeviled you. Arise and become that night of grace that God has raised in the end time. Oh, Nigeria, arise! When you are there, oh God, bring us deliverance from the mountains of the plateau to the corners of Borno State. Let your glory suddenly arise. Suddenly, come on, Sally Makalia Mama. Can you ask the Lord to release a flame in the body? That suddenly there'll be an awakening. And the Spirit will begin to brood afresh.
Come on, Ikatendosima abaye kopata kupesamena kapesosalia apres kapela kumbasata kabola ba. Let a new day break for us.
Show us mercy, that you might come down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. If you can, you may be seated in the house of God. It's about 22 years ago now, we were experiencing a move of God while we were on campus. People were giving their lives to Christ without an evangelist. The conviction of God broke upon the campus, and so many things were happening that we could not explain. It was obvious that we were immature as preachers and teachers to actually capture the full scope of that which God wanted to do. As many people, because there were so many people that came to me personally to be led to Christ, and we set up a Holy Ghost chamber on the tennis court where we served men Holy Ghost as wine. Yes. And I was one of the people that functioned in that capacity. So when we get news of someone that gave his life to Christ, I was the Holy Ghost bartender, serving live. So many things were happening at the same time. We were seeing the book of Acts of the Apostles come alive. But one morning, I went to pray. It was 5 a.m. in the morning. I was in the prayer place. And unfortunately, I was the only one there that day. And the Holy Ghost came to me. And when he came to me, he said, "Son, unfortunately, I will have to leave." That was not a good news. That was not the kind of news we expected, because things were breaking out. Things were breaking out. And it was in those days that I sensed the anointing for the first time. That when I preached the gospel, people would fall under power. You say you are going? No, we are just getting started. Hallelujah. That was how that revival began to die. But before he left, he said, I will come again. For many years I waited. I waited for a sign. I waited for something that will reveal that God was going to come. Waited for 10 years in intercession, in the place of fasting, in the place of prayer. And there was no sign. And when we say we are waiting, what we are waiting for is not the anointing that knocks men down. That's not what we are saying we are waiting for. We were growing in the anointing. People were getting healed. But there was something I saw on campus. It was not in church. I know how many members of Black Axe threw away the axe and got transformed. And they were so full of God that even the members of Black Axe were afraid of them. It happened on campus. I remember one day I woke up from my room and I needed water to have my bath before I go for lectures. And the line of buckets was impossible. And when I came to the place, it was a Black Axe member that took my bucket, put it where his was, and he came and took the place that I was. Hallelujah. Yes. When I walk into the common room those days, people that smoke will stop smoking. I'm not their father. But there was something that was happening that I could not understand. We could not fully articulate. Great things. Great things. I remember we prayed for about two people that were dead on campus and they came back to me. Great things taking place. And then the Holy Ghost now said, sorry, I have to leave in the midst of the action. We were just getting started. What gripped you so much that you need to leave now? You have set us up. Because we were going through the motion. And I realized that if you are walking with the Holy Ghost, anytime you ever say, I got it, that's in time you lost it. We were not educated. And we felt that the things that happened to Charles Finney was beginning to happen to us. Hallelujah. Many there were among us that felt they were the best thing that happened to Christianity at that time. Because the hand of God was strong. And the Holy Ghost came and said, sorry, I must leave. But I will be back again. And we waited long. We waited long. Hoping that he would show a sign. As time went on, the nation that I knew that God had a covenant with, even Nigeria, was beginning to enter into the shadows and into darkness. And I was wondering, when will you come? It was easier for you to have come 5 years ago. Now we are overtaken by gross darkness. When will it please you to remember the blood of the precious that were slain on the mountaintops? And he kept mute for 12 years. It was 12 years. That is how many years now? 22 years. I did not show the sign. It's time for me to come back. I asked this question, why did you leave? I never got an answer for 22 years. But he says he's coming back. Turn your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. It's 11 years ago now. I was in my sitting room, I was praying 4 a.m. in the morning. And Jesus walks through the wall and he comes in. And when he came in, I was wondering because he had no shoes on. And I was afraid. I said, Lord, you don't have any shoes on. What's the problem? Then he quoted that scripture to me in the book of Joshua chapter 1. That everywhere the sole of your feet shall tread upon shall be given unto you as a possession. Then I knew that the reason for which he came was he wanted to claim grounds. He reached out and called me and my body left my spirit. And then we went to a place which I've come to realize that it's Donatus village called Jatoka. But I did not know it was. That was the place. And he began to curse the altar there. And when he cursed the altar fell. And the memory of the altar passed away. We went to another place in Tivland. That place, I've not discovered that place. Because I know this first place, which is Jatoka, was this shrine was sited on a grave. The second place, I don't know what, where it was. And he spoke and the altar fell. I think we went for about 3 rounds and then we came back to my sitting room again. And then he turned his back. I said, no, what of the poverty in the land? You didn't address the poverty, you didn't address the darkness. There's a surge of demonic activity you didn't speak about. And Jesus said, I will return. That is to comfort me. This one was 11 years ago. The first one was what? 22 years ago. I've only shared this one with a few people. Said I would return. Blessed are they that believe in me. That's what he said. So every time I celebrate a birthday, I go back to God. I said, you said you were going to come back. We don't know how you will come back. We don't know when you will come back. But if you want to come back, come quickly. Because the tokens of the kingdom are stolen. And it's easier to be afraid than to be in faith. So many questions begging for answers. And it seems there are no voices in the territory to bring perspective. If you want to come, come quickly. He didn't answer until 2019. So it's time to come. Meanwhile, I need to tell you a story from heaven. Because when the issue of Nigeria was brought up in the council, most of the elders pleaded with God to shift his favor from this country to another country. Yes. In fact, Ghana was proposed highly in the chambers. I'm telling you what I saw from heaven. If it were democracy, God's face would have turned from Nigeria. Probably the first thing. Okay. Let's leave that. The contention was so strong. And then God revealed that the reason why his face cannot be turned from Nigeria was because he entered into deep covenants with our ancestors. Not because of us. There were vows that he made. There were covenants that he made with our ancestors. And at this point in time, it is not consistent with his nature for him to forget those covenants that are already operational. It was on the strength of that God reassured that his covenant with this nation would not be broken. Ecclesiastes. Cast thy bread upon the waters, but thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall come upon thee. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all things. The
So he said, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. That's the same principle that is in the book of Genesis chapter 8 from verse 22.
What occasioned that exposition? In the book of Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 was that Noah was seeking a ground of stability. Before that time, God in his wrath had judged the earth. Before that time, the fall of man had been activated, and the governor that was supposed to superintend this realm, hallelujah, the governor is the one that has the manual for every creature, even the Holy Spirit, had withdrawn from the physical creation. And that's why the preacher said, what was left, the purposes that were left in the physical creation, was vanity upon vanity, cycles, levels and degrees of vainness being expressed, because the Holy Spirit had withdrawn his services from the physical creation. It was on the strength of that that God began to crystallize the new creation, because his purposes could no longer be found within the crucible of the old. That was a lamentation that the preacher sustained in the book of Ecclesiastes. And now in Genesis chapter 8, having known this, Noah decided to intercede. And he took clean creatures from the ark and made a sacrifice to God. And we will need to investigate what exactly the Bible means by clean creatures, because at this time, Moses had not yet come with his own taxonomy and classification of creatures into clean and unclean. How did Noah know that there were creatures that were clean and creatures that were unclean? Because it was obvious that the clean creatures were not affected by the fall. Their manual was within. The way they were designed to operate, they still operate that way. Hallelujah. When I teach this, I always make reference to a mosquito that was meant to take food from the nectar flowers. And when the manual was lost, it takes blood now. Hallelujah. You might have come here using a bus, and you saw a conductor there. If God were to open your eyes to see his true destiny, it is not being a conductor. It was a manual that God lost. And that's why aberrations, and the only purpose is sustained in the visible creation, were vanity upon what? Vanity. And that's why you can only find your center of gravity with respect to purpose when you stumble upon Christ. And this intercessor, namely Noah, was trying to find a common ground of possibility in the midst of the fall and in the midst of the chaos. And when he sacrificed the clean creatures, what he was saying to God was, I don't know what you did and what you put in these animals that made them not to suffer from the impact of the overhaul, but we are sacrificing them to you so that you can make life sustainable upon the face of the earth. It was in response to that intercession that God said, as long as the earth remains. Those were the variables that he decided to hold constant so that the life of man under the sun can have a predictable possibility in his future. As long as what? The earth remains. Seed time and harvest. No, that's the last one. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, if we were to dwell on that, you come to realize why, according to elementary geography, that the reason for seasons, planting season, Harmattan season, is because the earth is revolving around the sun. And the reason for day and night is because the earth is revolving around its axis. Hallelujah. And so, the preacher said, cast your bread upon the waters. If the revolution process continues, you will find it after many days. But when we go into the New Testament, The subject of sowing and reaping is taken to another level. Because in the New Testament, there are only two possible places to sow into. You are either sowing into the flesh, or you are sowing into the spirit. Hallelujah. And so when we say, cast thy bread upon the waters, the wise know, keep sowing in the spirit, because you will find it after many days. He said, give a portion unto seven. Because when you are sowing into the spirit, that you stand to be discouraged, because spiritual things don't manifest this way physical things manifest. If you go to farm and you want to plant corn, you know it will take 3 months. Expectation is connected to a time frame. But when you are making an investment in the spirit, all your wisdom with respect to return on investment will become useless, because God has his own schedule that he works with. Are you with me? So he said, cast your bread upon the water. He said, you will find it after many days. However, you need to adopt an insurance policy. Are you with me? Because the principle that guarantees a return on investment is as long as the earth remains. Is that true? The seed time and harvest principle is only functional as long as the earth remains. And that's a bad basis for investment, because it is possible for the earth not to remain. So what will happen to what you sowed in the natural? Because of that, an insurance policy had to be crystallized, just in case the earth is not faithful enough to bring about a return on investment. You partake of this insurance policy. And the insurance policy requires that you give a portion to seven. Yea, to what? Eight. Because of what? Oh, you are not with me. Why did he say we should give a portion to seven and to eight? Because you don't know what evil will come upon the earth. I hope you know that. That's the basis of the first principle. The first principle is as long as the earth remains. That's what cast thy bread upon the waters, and you will find it after many days is predicated upon. The next verse is an insurance policy, just in case the earth is not in place. There is a kind of investment you can make. Are you with me? That even though the earth is not in place, you still have a return on investment. That's the reason for the second verse. He said, give a portion to seven. Yea, to what? Eight. Why? Because you do not know what evil will come upon the earth. So sometimes as you are sowing in the spirit, evil comes upon the earth. Evil. And this evil that comes upon the earth might elongate the time that is required for a return on your investment to find expression. And because of the possibility of the arrival of evil, a policy, an investment, an insurance policy is fabricated as a support system. Let me take you deeper. My emphasis is verse 5. But we can't jump there. We can't jump. If you jump there, you will not know that there is a progression of revelation. You will miss out on the protocol. Work with me. Let's do Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 is a theater arts piece. Theater arts. You need to be grounded in theater arts for you to understand that. Matthew chapter 26. Clearly. Now this is Acts 1:1. And it came to pass, when Jesus finished all these sayings, that he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Verse 3 is Acts 1:2. Are you following? Alright. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus subtly. And what? And kill. Jesus was prophesying to his disciples and said, you know, the Passover is close. And because the Passover is close, it is needful for you to know that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. And the end point of the betrayal is what? Crucifixion. That's Acts 1, scene 1. And the guys in Acts 1, scene 2 were not in the place where Jesus prophesied. But the administrative infrastructure that will bring the prophecy to pass was being coupled together in another place. Are you for me? That's fine. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, this Acts 2, scene 1 now. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, because he didn't know the meaning of what was happening at first from the position of the witness of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she had wrought a good work upon me for the poor. For ye shall have the poor always with you, but me ye shall not have always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my benefit. Acts 2, scene 1. Acts 1, scene 1, Jesus spoke about the fact that his death was ordained by God to align on the feast of Passover. That's one thing too. The administrative infrastructure that will bring to pass what he prophesied, they were arranging it. And even though there was a suggestion that he should not be killed on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So it means it wasn't convenient. We were looking at the security implication. It was going to generate an uproar, and they don't want that because it will attract the Romans. Because at this time, the Jews were not a self-governing nation. And anything that will bring about an upheaval was not good for the government of the time. Suddenly, they left the place where they were meeting initially and went to Bethany, the house of Simon. Now, that guy was a leper that Jesus healed, but they had known him by his predicament. So his name could not be changed easily, even though the leprosy was healed. They had known him for... The name we called you for 35 years, you can't change it because there's a miracle. He was still Simon, what? The leper. And if you read the writings of Moses, you will see that Moses gave the children of Israel a lot of laws that have to do with hygiene. And one of the laws was that when you make a trip and you come to the house of a man, your feet should be washed. And that was the place of the servant of the house. That was part of his duties, to ensure that your feet is washed. And when Jesus came into the house of Simon the leper, even though Simon the leper had gotten a miracle from Jesus, Simon did not wash his feet. Because Simon did not see himself as a servant where Jesus was. Probably a colleague. Because he had his own standing in the city. So he did not see himself as such a person as to bring himself to that point where he could wash Jesus. So Jesus entered with dirty feet. And then suddenly a woman shows up. A woman that was not invited. Didn't know that Jesus' feet needed attention. Are you with me? A woman that was not in Acts 1, scene 1 or Acts 1, scene 2. Are you with me? Shows up.
And when she shows up, she begins to weep on Jesus' feet and wipes it with her hair and unveils the alabaster box. Are you with me? It was not an alabaster bottle. Those days, there was no bottle. And if we read the local account, we see that it was equivalent to a year's wages. That is NYSE money times 12. Now, how much do coppers... Yes, we have a youth cup. How much do you receive now? What? 19.8 times 12. I'm trying to do the arithmetic to show us that at least nobody here has had a perfume that costly. Just. Somebody help me with the details. 31? 30,000 times 12. What do we have? What? 300 and something. None of us here has had a cologne that is that costly. And meanwhile, this cologne was not manufactured in Jerusalem. It was manufactured in Arabia. And when you are paying the price for the cologne, you also pay for the security, because the Arabian desert is full of bandits. You have to pay for security charges. It's not enough for you to buy something from Arabia. You must pay for it to be securely delivered to you in Jerusalem. Are you with me? Huh? Because it was only the cost of the cologne that bothered men like Judas. Not the carriage, the haulage, the movement of the peace. And it happens to be that because this alabaster ointment was in a box, you could only use it once. You can't use it and cock it. It's a box. And so if you wanted to use it, you would use it on a high day. Probably on the day of your wedding. And when you unveil the box, it has a symbolic meaning that my life as a woman will be wasted on this man. Hallelujah. But you know what? There was no wedding that day. Another day that you can unveil a box is a burial day, to symbolize the fact that this man, all through his 75 years, 84 years, 93 years, he was being poured forth like a drink offering. And each and every one of us drank from the reality of what he was running with through the days that were appointed unto him. So when you unveil it that day, we know it is symbolic. That what? The drink offering has been poured. There was no wedding that day. So it was difficult to understand the meaning of what was happening. It was Jesus that brought the second meaning, because traditionally, the reason for unveiling an alabaster was the first reason. Now, the woman was saying, Jesus, you casted out 7 demons from me. If I ever marry, my husband will not be of value like you, so I waste my box on you. Some people in the meeting had discerned her from the eye of her past, and in fact it was on the strength of this that some of the Pharisees that were there, they said Jesus is not a prophet because of this. Their estimation of Jesus in the prophetic changed because of this woman's visit. And the conclusion that they left with was that Jesus did not make it as a prophet from their own perspective. Because there were so many reasonings that were generated on the strength of the woman's action. So Jesus had to go beyond the natural dimension. Meanwhile, the apostles also had a perspective. If you check the local account, there were 2 responses from the apostles. The first was from Judas. And Judas said, it's a waste. You know, Judas didn't add Lord. He just said, what? It's a waste. He had put together the monetary value of the substance. And from his perspective, we have wasted something. He came from the realm of the economist, the realm of the financial manager, the realm of the financial analyst.
And his conclusion after debit and credit
was what? Wait. That means, are you with me?
In the eyes of people that were unbelievers that had not said yes to Jesus, this woman was wasting. Meanwhile, the other apostles say, Lord, is a waste. Even though they added Lord, it means they had said Lord to Jesus. But their perspective was not different from that of the unbeliever. There were perspectives that were rising in the room. And so Jesus decided to enter into the spirit because the perspectives were too divergent. So, and then the Bible says when he understood it. Because the understanding was not in the natural. Then he told us that the reason why this woman did what she did was to prepare her for her what? For his burial. The woman was not in Acts 1, scene 1. Neither was she in Acts 1, scene 2. She didn't know the need that Jesus had. Are you with me? You know the Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters. That's right. So you will find it after many days. He said, give a portion to seven. Seven means complete. And eight means a new beginning. So when he says give a portion to seven, it means that human beings have a limit to which they can give. And if you try to make a man give beyond this elastic limit, you have just manipulated him. However, a man that gives the eight doesn't give to meet human needs. A man that gives the eight gives to meet a need on the heart of God. Because Jesus had a need to be anointed for his burial according to the custom. And it was because it was a woman that anointed him, he had to be a woman that will see him first when he resurrects. The Bible says when he had understood it, he knew that the entire gesture was put in place for his burial. The same burial that people were planning to. There was an administration that was planning to take him out. This woman, moved by the revelation of the value of Jesus, offered something beyond a need. He offered something to meet a need on the heart of God. So she gave the eight. You know, the policy says what? Give a portion to seven. Yea. To it. And for her, a new beginning was carved out without the eight. Because the reason for the insurance policy is to cut off the earth element from the return on investment that is captured in that possibility. When Jesus now spoke to the woman, he said, wherever the gospel is preached, not as long as the earth remains. The reason why we need to add an insurance policy, you have been sowing in the spirit. And everybody that looked at you say you are wasting. How old, see your age. When will you return with glad tidings? The reason why the return on investment was doubled was because evil came upon the earth. So the time frame was adjusted so that the evil could be handled. Are you with me? But the secret that is unveiled is in the insurance policy. Make sure that your life is perpetually designed to meet the need on the heart of God. If you do that, even in the midst of the evil, there will be a return on investment. That is the message of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. He now gave us an assurance that if a tree should fall to the north or to the south, in the place where it falls, that is where it will be. That's why the Holy Spirit did not miss the upper room and visited your grandfather's, your great grandfather's house. In the place where the tree falls, that is where it will be. It was where they were laboring that the Holy Spirit appeared. He didn't miss the upper room. Because there was a tree that had fallen there. And it had to.
You know GPS? GPS. The GPS location of where the Holy Spirit invaded was where they have been doing some earth-shaking things. It's in that place. That is where it will remain. And so, we will wait and see if the Spirit of God will remain on your life. If it means that it was your prayer that cut the tree down. You remember when Jesus was to be identified, John the Baptist said, anyone upon whom the Spirit of God shall descend and what? If he rests, it means that there is an investment that you have been making that others are not aware. And in the day that we speak about, the Spirit of God will descend and rest on some men, because several investments that were made, and it was like madness to continue because it looked like a waste. Everybody that looked at you felt you were wasting big time. But you see, in order for you to make meaning, sense to the mortals, you must be a man of sacrifice. What doesn't make sense to men, that's what makes sense to God. Because the Bible says when Jesus had understood it, it's only Jesus that was able to understand what happened. In that meeting, there were several people that left there and said, no, this is a wasting ministry. There were others that left there and said, Jesus is not a prophet. Because if he had known what sort of woman was this, he would have been allergic to her presence. But when Jesus understood it, the immortals have the capacity to understand investments in the Spirit. Verse 5 captures the season of manifestation. That's where my charge will come from in the next 10 minutes before I invite the speaker for the night. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. The processes, the procedures of the Spirit that take place in such a way that is obviously oblivious to the mind of the natural man. Are you with me? But you must know that if God is walking, it means His Spirit is walking. And if God stops walking, it means His Spirit has stopped walking. You can continue walking if the Spirit of God is not walking. But that walk is not a walk of God. And so if God is walking, the first thing He does is that He unveils that walk. He begins to do that walk in His Spirit like a womb. If that Spirit, if the work of God is trapped in the Holy Ghost like a womb, seeking alignment with mortal man, so that which has hatched in the womb of the Holy Spirit can find expression. Are you with me? The way we can know that work has begun is when the Holy Spirit finds a man, and then we now study what He is doing with the man. Then we will know what He had in mind that was in His womb. Is that clear? Let me give you a scripture. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. What we are trying to achieve in this conference, we have peeped a little into the womb of the Spirit, because the Church of Jesus needs direction now. And we are trying to point believers in the nations of the world to the emphasis and the present revelation position that we have found in the Spirit, which God has already begun to implement, although on a low key status.
Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You see, I was supposed to read a scripture before this. And the scripture I was supposed to read was Psalms 110, verse 1 to 3. What led to the outpouring of the Spirit is in Psalms 110, verse 1 to 3. And in the book of Psalms 110, if you read, you will find out that God the Father had made a promise to God the Son. He had told him to sit down at his right hand until he, the Father, makes all his enemies his footstool. So it was a kingdom vision that David saw. And in this kingdom vision, Jesus was given an administrative throne. For those of you that have watched Game of Thrones, you know there is a functionary in the kingdom called the Hand of the King. The Bible is a kingdom book. Anything that will make you comprehend kingdom realities will make you closer to the Bible, make you understand the context in which the Bible is written. So when the Father told Jesus, "Sit down at my right hand," he was not saying sit here. He was saying assume an administrative capacity until I make your enemies to bow at your feet. Because it is the administrative office that Jesus occupies, is the office of the Christ. And it is that office that creates the mediatorial role that Jesus plays on our behalf. For instance, if you pray now, your prayers cannot get to the Father except it is processed through the office of the Christ. And God's response, the Father's response, cannot come to you until it is processed through the office of the Christ. See, no man can get to the Father except by me. If the Father should speak directly to you, the implication will be that you will no longer be in this world. Because the energy with which that voice will transmit, it will be like thunder and fire. But it goes through the crucible of the office and it is processed, and then the vibration is precipitated in your spirit through the infrastructure of the Holy Ghost. And when you pray, spirits don't understand this, your language. It's not in this language that spirits communicate. All right. If you go to the book of Revelation chapter 5, you will see the prayers of the saints, how it ascends like incense and odors. That's how your prayer ascends into the sanctuary, that immortals can relate with it. So you think because you prayed in deep Akwaibo language, that chronic one where you were using proverbs and dark sentences, you were actually, no. The prayer was captured by the immortals from your spirit when it was yet an incense, when it was a desire that you needed Holy Ghost power to press, to prosecute. It was in that form that it was captured. And it could come into that form because there was an office that did the process. Sit down where? And I will be the one to ensure that your enemies are brought to bow at your feet. That's Psalms 110, verse 1 and 2. Then verse 3 now says, and the Lord shall send, verse 2, sorry, now says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. That means in keeping with the promise of the Father to bring the enemies to Jesus' feet, he had to send the rod of his strength, the Holy Ghost. So what led to the day of Pentecost was a promise that God made to his Son, who he had now made the administrator, so that he functions in the capacity of a true heir to manage the kingdom on his behalf. So the Holy Spirit now came as a result of that promise.
Are you with me? That means the intentions that God had was in the womb of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And if we are going to know the intention that the Spirit has, that womb must be unveiled. And the unveiling of that womb can only be done in one way. When we see what the Holy Spirit does to the people that align with Him for the implementation of His program. It is in their life that we see the unveiling. Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Let me take 45 as a case study. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. This is the civilization that the Holy Spirit began to implement. These are the things, the policies that he had in his womb. And because it is illegal for the Holy Spirit to operate upon the face of the earth without the support, the alignment, the agreement of a man, because this is three dimensional world, is not a world meant for spirits, a world meant for men. And when God created man, he didn't take him to heaven. He created man, where did he put him? On earth. Three dimensional world, so that man can be God's representative in this realm, because man is not spirit, it is God that is spirit. And if man is going to align with God, are you with me? Or God wants to implement something upon the face of the earth and man refuses to align with him, that thing will wait until a generation comes that is willing to align with God. Because this is man's realm. And it's only that which man aligns with that will find expression here. So if we want to know what was in the womb of the Spirit of God is littered across the entire book of Acts of the Apostles, you will see what God did with men when they aligned with him. If you can read those rooms, those writings that they manifested, then you will know what God had in mind. And the scripture I read indicated that God arrested their possessiveness to property. Alright? It was the Spirit that did that. We didn't know he had that in mind until he began to implement that protocol in the lives of those believers. People went under the influence of the Holy Spirit and sold lands. That's not what you do naturally. Your C of O's that you have in a secret file is hidden away in a black box. Hallelujah. Because you can convert that sea of hope and the land to money anytime you want. It's very liquid these days. Meanwhile, for your information, half of Makot is for sale now. Half of Makot. These are strange times. These guys, under the influence of the Spirit, sold lands, parted the money to every man as they had need. What does that look like? Waste. Same waste principle. It doesn't look intelligent, doesn't look smart. But that's what the Holy Ghost will make out of you. Someone that doesn't look smart. And it will look as if you are wasting until a day will come where the immortal will speak, as long as the earth remains, as long as they still call your city Jos, as long as, then unto you will be given keys of the kingdom of heaven. You will be operating not on the basis of other men, but on the basis of what he had said, that has created a new set of possibilities and seasons. Now, so these guys were selling houses, and then they parted the money to the brethren as they had need. That's not what a human being would do. but they did willingly under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I know that this land